Hey mama, I want to invite you to something. I am hosting a free anger management bootcamp on the podcast May 6th through the 10th. Monday through Friday, there will be a new episode released teaching you where anger comes from and what goes on in your brain when you feel intense feelings, how to lower your stress and increase capacity levels as a mom, how to shift your mindset to align your actions with the mom that you want to be, and how to break generational anger patterns. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a day and sign up using the link in the show notes so you can get access to the episodes as soon as they drop and an email summary of the daily trainings, as well as access to a live Q&A call on the last day of the bootcamp. Invite one or three of your mama friends so they can learn how to manage their emotions well too. Link to sign up is in the show notes. I can't wait to see you in there. Let's get back into this podcast episode. Does anger feel like it comes out of nowhere? That you were just fine, and all of a sudden you just explode in anger and freak out and scream and yell at your kids? Well, I can tell you for sure, that's not how it works. Maybe it feels like that for you, that all of a sudden it just caught you off guard. But I can tell you, something was leading up to that, and there were warning signs that you missed. In this episode, I want to teach you and share with you what are the warning signs that you are about to explode in anger. You need to be able to recognize those and help yourself before you get to the rage episode. So this past week, as I'm recording this, my kids just finished spring break and they went back to school. And for a full week, they were all home with me, and I decided to do no screen week, which was my decision. Totally cool. We live in Florida. It's nice outside. They could spend more time outside. And they did. Two of my boys saved up money and with their own money bought electric motorcycles that they've been just driving around in our neighborhood. And then the third one has been just chasing them with a bicycle. So it's all fun and great. And then they worked for the neighbors. They got to spend a lot of time outside. Yes, they were still in and out. And there's at least a couple kids in the house usually at a time. And my husband was working longer hours because he was filling in for his boss that week. And so then on Saturday, he also worked a full day. He left at 8 a.m. and then at like 6 p.m., he calls me. He dropped off the car that he borrowed from his boss at the house. And he's like, hey, do you need me for anything? Or can I stay and hang around here for a little while? And I thought, well, he worked all week. He didn't really get any time to himself. I'll just say, hey, you can just stay home. You can stay there and relax, which is fine. Because at that time, kids were doing pretty well. I felt in a pretty decent emotional state. And it was already about 6 p.m., what is a few more hours, right? Without him. I mean, it would be nice if he'd be home to help out, but I felt like I wasn't in a place where I was losing my sanity at all. At least I thought. And so I said, yeah, it's fine. Cool. You can stay there. And then he came home late after the kids were in bed. Besides the point, the kids, they seemed to be doing well. Everything was okay. And then they decided to play this game. So I had them all come inside for dinner. And I was getting the toddler ready for bed. And then the boys were just not eating their dinner. They were playing a game where they were just chasing each other and tagging each other with no backs. You can't tag the person back. And they were giving each other poop touches, not cheese touches. Sometimes they do that. Poop touches, pee touches, and fart touches. That's what they were calling each other. So you would get a fart touch and you can't give it back. So you have to chase another brother. And I've told them to stop playing the game, sit down and eat their dinner. Like, I felt like a bajillion times. And listen, this whole week, I was pretty calm. I was pretty cool. I didn't really lose my cool at all with the kids. And they were home all week with me, with my husband working long hours. Maybe there were some frustrating moments here and there. Maybe I snapped in the sense like, you know, said something unkind or just maybe with a little bit attitude. But overall, I would say I did a really good job as a mom, and I was happy with myself, the way I showed up for my family. Well, I was getting at my wit's end with my boys. They were just not listening, and I felt at a loss. I decided that I'm going to just take money away from them. They all have their own money that they save up and they've been working for the neighbors. And I said, hey, if you keep playing the game, every time you don't listen, I'll take $2. I was at a point where I was just giving out threats. Not the best parenting strategy, but I felt really at a loss in that moment. What I was doing wasn't working. I did not know what to do differently. I was definitely in my emotional part of the brain. I was worn out, feeling exhausted. I was not doing great. And then I really wish my husband was there, but he was like, even if I told him to come home at that time, which he probably would have, he was 45 minutes away. So it wasn't making any sense for him to come home. Besides the point, I was getting frustrated with the kids. The dog is chasing around, the kids are running around, and for a little while, I just let it go. I chose to let it go, just let him do it, and then it's getting like 8 p.m., and I need them to go to bed. Why? More than anything, I want some time off and time to decompress and recharge. And since it's lighter outside this time of the year, they don't think that it's bedtime because it's lighter outside. And so they were just chasing each other and not eating. And I could have just said, hey, everybody's going to stay hungry, go to bed. You're obviously not hungry enough to eat. I didn't say that because I spent an hour and a half earlier making soup, and I poured everybody's soup in a bowl, and I wanted them to eat the soup because I wasn't hungry anymore and I didn't want it to go bad. And so I just needed them to eat the food, but they weren't eating the food. And so it was just this cycle where they were just running around and just, they were having a good time. That's the thing. It's not like they were like intentionally trying to make my day bad. They were literally laughing with each other and running around. That was the cost. I guess I had to pay for them not being on screens, which is fine. And I got to a point where I was getting really frustrated, and I already put my daughter to bed, and it was just me and the boys, and they kept on doing the same thing. And I kept saying stop and saying stop and saying stop, and they weren't listening. So I kept feeling really agitated and frustrated. This was the point where I needed to walk away and take a break. You know how I teach you to walk away before you lose your cool, take a break? I didn't. I just screamed at the top of my lungs, stop! And they all froze because this almost never happens in our house. It's so freaking rare for me to scream like that. My youngest boy, who was 6 years old, started to cry because he felt scared. Because, like I said, I rarely do this. And so he started to cry. And then the other one's like, I'm not hungry. I don't want to eat. And the older one's like, he finished his food, I think, by then. But he's like, okay, I'm going to just do the dishes because I told him he has to do the dishes. And then the younger one was just crying. And my mind was thinking, they made me do it. That's the victim mentality. My mind was in the moment telling me, they made me do it. They made me scream. They didn't. No one makes you scream. I chose to scream. But my mind in that moment wanted to play the victim and saying that it was my kid's fault that they made me angry. It made me scream. And we'll do a whole episode about making me angry, not angry. Your kids don't make you angry. You choose to feel angry. Because if I just shifted my mentality and said to myself, okay, I'm going to choose to let it go, let them stay hungry and just go to bed, or I'm just going to let them run around as long as they want to because the little one is still not sleeping, and just get all their energy out and they can just go to bed later and it's going to be fine. If I shifted my mentality about that, I would have felt differently around the circumstance, but I chose not to. Besides the whole point, I was experiencing things that led up to that. There was tension in my body. There was agitation. There was frustration. There were some unmet needs. There was no time to decompress. There was all these things that were leading up to that. Lack of support. My husband wasn't around. So all of that was leading up to me getting frustrated and then feeling agitated and then frustrated and then feeling angry and then getting to the rage, right? And so I mean, I guess it was probably a higher level of anger. I wouldn't say rage yet because I'll teach you what rage is, but it was definitely really, really, felt really, really angry. And then I had to apologize to my kids. I chose to apologize. Let me correct that. I don't have to. I choose to apologize to my kids because I think it is important to own up and admit when you messed up and teach your kids and model to your kids how to take ownership of your mistakes. So after church on Sunday, which was yesterday, I told my husband, I said, hey, listen, I need some alone time. I've been with the kids all week long. I need some time to recharge and to decompress and to be by myself. He's like, I miss you. I want you to be home here with us. I said, listen, I need alone time. I really need to get out of the house for a couple hours. I had a return at Target. I returned something at Target and I got myself some Starbucks and I just slowly walked around Target, looked at all the pretty decor things and walked and looked at all the clothes and the jewelry and the glasses. I did get a few things that we needed. I didn't really get anything that I wanted. I just mostly get the things that we need. But it was just so good to just be by myself because I'm an introvert. I needed that time to decompress because I was feeling resentful. I was feeling internally agitated and I knew what I needed to support myself to feel better. And that's why I want to teach you about how to 10x your emotional capacity levels. I don't know if you listened to the previous episode, but I have this wonderful gift for you. In the show notes, if you scroll down, there's a section over there for a mini course. I put together a mini course for you. It's called How to 10x Your Emotional Capacity Levels as a Mom. And in that mini course, you get to watch a video training that I teach you 11 ways that you can increase your emotional capacity levels as a mom to have more patience with your kids. Because if you're just run down and constantly feeling overwhelmed and running and empty, recognizing your anger and all these stressors, like you will be able to do that, but you're going to be in that chronic state. You got to support yourself proactively. And that's the kind of things I teach you in that mini course. And you can get access to it for free if you leave me a review on iTunes and screenshot the review and email it to me, and I will send you a coupon code for this mini course. Or you can just buy it for $27. So if that's something that you're interested in, I would highly recommend. It is so, so good. Why I mentioned that mini course is because all the things that I teach in that mini course really go along with this episode. Because when you notice that you're running low emotionally, it will eventually contribute to you exploding soon. That means you reached your capacity levels. When I was with my kids at home and I was running low emotionally, I reached my capacity levels with them. And that's why I exploded. So there's things like life stressors, right, that contribute to us, unmet needs, unprocessed emotions, lack of support, no time to decompress and recharge, all of that. And there's a lot more that you will learn about in the training and something that you can do about them starting today. All of that contributes to you starting to notice that your stress levels are rising and there will be signs in your body that you need to recognize. We'll talk about them here in just a second, because when you start noticing them and you have a plan, what you're going to do to support yourself, you're going to be able to de-escalate before you explode in anger. So here are the signs that you are going to be getting to anger and rage. Okay, so there's agitation, then there's frustration, anger, and rage. That's how I rate them. There's four stages. So agitation is your body's just feeling tension. You're feeling annoyed. You're wanting to withdraw a little bit or take a break. You're starting to feel overwhelmed, overstimulated. You're switching to that emotional part of the brain. You're not in your thinking brain anymore. That I teach you about, and I'll have an episode linked about that in the show notes. I've taught on this many, many times, but you have your thinking brain, feeling brain, and survival part of the brain. Thinking brain is your problem solving, logical. You make good choices when you're in that part of the brain. emotional part of the brain is when you are getting emotional, you're feeling frustrated, agitated. You can still make some good choices, but you're having more attitude and disrespect, your tone changes, and it's more with your verbal. And then survival part of the brain is fight, flight, or freeze, where you just get maybe physically aggressive with your kids, or you just lose your mind, you freak out, and you scream. And so when you are in agitation stage, you're switching to that emotional part of the brain. Your thinking brain is still online a little bit, but you are switching to that emotional part of the brain. The more stress you're being under, the more unmet needs you're having, the more lack of support you're experiencing, all of that adding up without getting a break to decompress or whatever, you're starting to get to frustration. Frustration is like, man, everything is just really bothering me. It's just not going my way. I wouldn't say it's like anger yet. You're just getting really frustrated. You're noticing that you're having attitude and a disrespectful tone. Your tone starts to change a lot. Right here. In this stage, in this frustration stage, you are in the emotional part of the brain for sure. The biggest thing you're going to notice is your language and your tone, right? You're starting to feel really annoyed with others, and your tone is going to sound annoyed. You're going to get snappy. Your heart rate is going to go up. Maybe your palms are getting a little bit more sweaty. You're still not in the anger stage, but you are definitely getting there, right? And you need to catch yourself. This is how I know for me is that I have attitude and more like snappy tone that is not necessarily mean, just unkind, I would say. All right. And then when enough stress is going to build up, you're going to get to level 3. This is anger. Okay, you're going to get the really sweaty palms. This is when you're starting to yell. This is what I experienced with my kids on Saturday that I shared with you earlier. It's coming out in your words a lot, right? You're actually getting to the stage where you want to say hurtful things. And you're definitely in that emotional part of the brain. And maybe you even want to do hurtful things, you just haven't done them yet. But you really want to say mean and hurtful things to those around you. You just want to be nasty. You are definitely in the anger stage. And that's where the Bible says, be angry and do not sin. Because when we're experiencing anger, oftentimes we make sinful choices. And it's so important to catch your anger early on, so then you can know what to do to help yourself before you get to the place where you are reacting and saying hurtful and damaging things. And then if you remain in that anger and you don't help yourself in that moment, you will eventually reach your breaking point. You will reach your capacity levels. You will get to the rage. And the rage, it's either fight, flight, or freeze. So either flee, you just get so pissed off and you walk away and you're just like, you know what? Screw all this. I don't want to deal with this. You shut down, just like numb. You feel so overwhelmed. Or you fight. And this is the one that I see most common with moms and children. This is when you lose your mind. You scream. You physically start hurting your children, doing damaging things. You are in survival part of the brain. Your thinking brain is completely offline. It literally feels almost impossible to stop yourself. It's like you have this aerial view of yourself. You know what you're doing is wrong and damaging and destructive, and you literally feel out of control and you can't stop yourself. You want to just revenge your children, and all you can think is, they're making me so mad. It's their fault. I'm angry. And you just feel like it's everyone else's fault and you're just taking it out on your kids, and you literally feel like a monster. That is rage. Rage is the flip side of helplessness. You're feeling completely out of control. Okay, and so why it's so important to recognize what your body feels and the signs in your body when you are in that agitation and frustration stage, it is so crucial to recognize that. And we work on that in my coaching program, to be aware of the signs and then able to help yourself in that moment. So recognizing when you are in the agitation stage, asking yourself, I feel agitated right now. What do I need right now to help myself feel better? Do you need to step aside for 10 minutes and take a little break? Go for a walk, get some fresh air, go to your room without your kids, take a snack, ask for help if it's available. I also have a really great episode that I created a while back. It's about lifting your mood when you are in a funk. Sometimes we just have a low mood and we need some ideas to lift our mood when we just feel funky. So that can also be helpful. But oftentimes we need to pause and ask ourselves, what do I need right now to help myself feel better? Because it's up to you to help yourself. No one else is around and is going to be like, oh, I see you're getting frustrated. What do you need? How can I help you? I mean, if you have a really, really in tune spouse who is extremely aware and very thoughtful, possibly, but very unlikely that your spouse is going to be first being around when you're home with the kids all day, and then second, being in tune to even ask you that. But, and even if he is, amazing and great, and I'm so happy for you. I've gotten to a place with my husband where I need to clearly communicate, be like, hey, I feel XYZ, and I need XYZ. Would you please help me? And my question for you is, when you're starting to feel agitated, how does it feel in your body? Do you just feel annoyed that everything is a little bit bothering you and irritating you? Do you feel tense in your body? Do you feel like you're just a little bit rude and snappy with your words? What do you need in that moment to help yourself feel better? And what's going to help you understand more of that is if you actually watch that training to how to 10x your emotional capacity. In there, I talk a lot about the things that are contributing to you running low emotionally. And it's a lot of those things are really similar, that things that you might need in the moment to help yourself feel better. So if you flip them around, you're like, oh, this is what I need to help myself feel better. So catching yourself in the early stage of anger and supporting yourself. Also, proactively lowering your stress levels daily. I teach this in my coaching program, and I talk about this a lot on the podcast. Lowering your stress levels just overall and creating more emotional capacity is going to be so much easier to implement all the tools that you learn in this podcast. And friend, I just want to let you know, if you're struggling with this, if anger is controlling your life, if you feel like you're an angry mom or a momster that overreacts and screams and yells and hurts her children in anger, there is hope for you. Listen to me. There is hope for you. You don't have to stay stuck. The enemy wants you to stay stuck. He's speaking lies over you, telling you that you're unchangeable, there isn't hope for you. There is hope for you, my friend. Jesus can help you through this. And that's why you're here. You're listening to my podcast for a reason. I want to let you know that I have a wonderful 12-week coaching program that is risk-free. You get 100% money back if you don't get results. And you put in the work and you don't get results. My friend, there is hope for you to change your life and create a peaceful and calm home environment, a place where your kids enjoy being, a place where your husband wants to come home to because he enjoys being around you, because you're lighthearted and playful and joyful and calm, and everything feels peaceful in your home instead of chaotic and crazy and overwhelming. Friend, it is so possible for you to make changes in your life. You just need a little bit of support and investing in yourself. You are investing into your whole family. Everyone benefits from this, not just you, your husband, your kids, generations to come. You get to break negative, destructive patterns and create new healthy patterns that you teach to your children and teach them these tools, how to handle their emotions. We all deal with emotions all the time, every single day. We're happy, we're sad, we're excited, we're frustrated, we're angry. Teach your children how to communicate what they feel and what they need. Instead of blowing up on others and hurting others with their words and actions, friend, this is such important and transformational work. This is legacy changing. Therefore, it's called Emotionally Healthy Legacy. This work is legacy changing for the better. All right, so here is how you can take action today. Number one, watch that mini course. See what you can do to lower your stress levels and increase your capacity levels proactively. It's called How to 10X Your Emotional Capacity Levels. You can get it for free for leaving me a review in iTunes and sending a screenshot to my email, and I will get you a coupon code, or you can just purchase it for $27. I teach a lot of those things sprinkled through the podcast episodes. You probably heard them before. They're just all in one place all at once, okay? The next thing that you can do is be aware of how you feel. When you're starting to feel angry, is it tension? Is it the attitude? Is it the rude tone? Is your voice slightly being raised? Do you just need some alone time and some space? And ask yourself, what do I need right now to help myself feel better? You can help yourself feel better in that moment. This is practical. This is actionable. This is not necessarily a spiritual thing. This is something that you can start implementing today. And then number four, do that thing. Do you need to take a snack? Do you need to take a break? Communicate with your family that you need a break. Put your kids in front of screens if you need 10 minutes to yourself. Do what you need to do to support yourself so then you have more emotional capacity for them. Do you need to go use the bathroom? Right? Sometimes we just need to go to the bathroom when we're feeling frustrated with our kids. Do you need a sweater because you're feeling cold? Or do you need to take off your sweater? Do you need to ask for help? Do you need to turn off your phone notifications because you're feeling overstimulated and being pulled into multiple directions at the same time? Do you need to brain dump just because you're keeping track of too many things at once? Do you need to stay home and cancel some plans because you're feeling overwhelmed with all the things that you need to do? Or maybe you need to go to the event instead and hang out with some girlfriends and get out of the house. What do you need to help yourself feel better? And do that thing, my friend. Okay? So thank you so much for being here. I am so thankful for you. If you found this podcast episode helpful in any way, shape, or form, I would be so honored if you choose to text it to a friend and share it with another mama. Recommendations is literally the best way that people find new podcasts. So if you would give me an opportunity to serve other mamas as well, please share my podcast and text it to a friend. I would be so grateful for you. If you want to take the next step and you want to work with me and connect with me on a deeper level, if you want to take action on the things that you're learning today, maybe you're one of those people that keeps hearing things, listening to information, reading books, listening to podcasts, but you still feel stuck because you don't take action and you need the accountability, you need the support, the next step is to book a consultation call with me. The link is in the show notes. I would be so excited to connect with you. You can even bring your spouse on the call. I have a loan option that you can take out and have low monthly payments that you pay, or you can pay in full, or you can do 3 monthly payments, whatever is most best suitable for you, my friend. I know you're so creative, and I know you can come up with the money if that is what's holding you back. And if you feel like you are scared because you're thinking, well, what if this doesn't work for me? Friend, the transformation you're going to get is going to be mind-blowing. The information you will learn and the action you're going to take in this coaching program, there's no way that you're going to fail. You're going to move forward. The support and accountability is so massive. You have direct access to me Monday through Friday. You have coaching calls, weekly coaching calls. Friend, you have homework assignments that you need to submit. You will make progress. Even if you don't get to that ideal version of yourself by the end of the coaching program, which this is a start, right? You're moving in the right direction, but you're going to make massive progress. I promise you. So if this is you, if this is calling your name and you're ready to take the next step, you are ready to make changes in your life and you want my support and accountability, book a consultation call. and let's have a conversation how I can support you. The next episode that I am recording for you is how to make sure your kids have good memories of you as a mom. If you feel like your kids only have negative memories of you, this episode is for you, and I'm really excited to record it. And if you don't want to miss these episodes, subscribe to my show so then the next episode that comes up, you will have access to it and you'll be able to see it. Before I let you go, I want to share with you one of the lists that I created on Amazon, and it's called Postpartum Support. I have a client right now who is about to have her baby in a few days, and I was inspired to create a postpartum support list from Amazon. I remember that when I lived in Minnesota and I had a lot more mom friends who were pregnant and having babies around the same time I was having babies. And one of my favorite things was for baby shower to give gifts that will support the mama. And it would be like breastfeeding tea, the one that helps you produce more milk, and just some help with postpartum healing. And some of these presents were not just like all this exciting and great stuff, but it's really needed for postpartum. Because I remember when my sister-in-law had her first baby and she had her baby before I did, one of the things that I remember was that she wasn't really prepared, and it was really stressful for her in those first few weeks because she had to send her husband to Target and to get a nursing bra and get all these things. And obviously it's very chaotic and you want to be a little bit more prepared for the baby. And so I created this list. So if this is something that maybe you need, if you're pregnant or you have a friend who's pregnant or sister-in-law or a sister, go through that list and pick out some things. And I have also like snacks on there and a massive water bottle because you're literally always thirsty when you're nursing the baby. It's like you're dying of thirst. So I have a bunch of things on that list. I'll link it for you below so you can check it out. Maybe there's something that you think might benefit you or somebody that you know. All right, friend, until next episode. Hi, friend. Did you learn something new or found value in this episode? If so, would you stop right now and share this episode with one Christian mama friend who has young kiddos and could benefit from this message? Word of mouth is the best way to spread the word and grow this podcast. Also, if you enjoyed this podcast, would you please rate and review on Apple Podcasts so I know that this content is helpful and I can continue to create more episodes. This is really the only way for me to know that you are blessed by this podcast. I'll see you soon, my friend. God bless you.